One of the most important, perhaps most powerful things I can do in my job as a pastor is to listen to people. You don't have to go to school for a very long time to learn how to do that. It's not very complicated. Sometimes it's just a matter of keeping one's mouth closed and paying attention and listening. And I actually think, I've seen it work in my own life when other people listen to me, and I've seen it work when I've tried to listen to others. It's a profoundly effective and powerful thing. Does anybody agree with me in that? Listening. Empathy. Patience. Understanding. Sometimes that's the most effective and most important thing I can do, but sometimes, other times, I don't really want to just listen. I've used this story before, and I tried to show it on video, and it's been a while, but you know the part in the planes and the trains and the automobiles? Speaking of Peter Larkin, he was the guy sitting at the back who was playing this video for us at the time. There's a scene where John Candy and Steve Martin, right, they're on this trip, it's going badly, and they're in a, I think it's an old, like, late 80s Chrysler LeBaron. I'm not sure if it was actually supposed to be a convertible or if it had somehow become a convertible in the process of their mishaps. And they, it was night, and they were getting turned around, and they ended up on the freeway. And, like, it was one of those big divided freeways. And they were just heading along. But they got mixed up on the on-ramp, which actually was an exit. And they were heading that direction in the left-hand part of the divided freeway. I want you to picture this, church, okay? So you could drive on the right side of the left-hand part of the freeway. And that's exactly what they were doing, just driving along, thinking they were headed to Albuquerque or wherever they were going. Are you picturing that? Somebody coming along, heading, you know, the same direction in the correct portion of the freeway, realizes these people are headed for trouble, and is yelling across the median, across the divide, "Hey!" And the motioning, rolling down on your window. So that, so, I think it's who's is it? John Candy who's sitting in the passenger seat, or is it Steve Martin? So he looks over, he rolls down the window. What? And the guy says, "You're going the wrong way," and yells, "Hey, you're going the wrong way." Yell, you get the idea. Yelling, I don't need to yell. Steve Martin looks at him like, how does he know where we're going? Rolls his window back up. And then things go badly for them, which is kind of the whole point of the movie, right? They were going the wrong way. Sometimes as a pastor, I just need to patiently listen, calmly empathize with somebody in their situation. Sometimes I want to lean across the table, roll down the window of the soul, and gently whisper, "You're going the wrong way." Right? Like it's going to go bad in that direction. I want to say that. I don't know how, and maybe it'll take another couple decades to figure out the right pastoral approach to that kind of a situation. Well, I want to read a story, the first part of it anyway, that we've heard before and we're familiar with. It's the story of Jonah. I'm going to read the first few verses. You can just listen or you can follow along if you like. "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish." Jonah ran away from the Lord. Jonah ran away from the Lord. In my opinion, the only thing worse than running away from the Lord would be maybe walking away from the Lord. Worse than running away might just be turning away. Or checking your phone instead. Or getting distracted by a squirrel away from the Lord. Jonah ran away. For you and I think we are actually far less likely to run from the Lord than we are to drift, or dodge, or duck, or dive, or drift. running from the Lord, well, that would at least be kind of exciting, right? As Jonah's story reveals, there's some energy to it. And running from the Lord would likely result in the Lord chasing after us. But falling asleep on the Lord, that doesn't actually make for a very good story. Not very interesting. And it probably wouldn't result in much of a response on the Lord's part either. We know at the very last book of the Bible, Jesus is somehow revealing something to John on the Isle of Patmos. And he says, I wish you were either hot or cold. I wish you'd either run or stay, but because you're just sort of dawdling here, I'm about to puke you out of my mouth. So, if we're going to ditch the Lord, I think it's best to follow Jonah's example and at least put our heart into it. Jonah ran from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. So we might need a little ancient Near Eastern geography here. I'm going to try to do this in reverse instead of turning my back to you. If Jonah is here, right, then Nineveh would be, I'm going to have to turn around. Oh yeah, if Jonah is here, then Nineveh would be up here, and Tarshish would be over here. So God calls Jonah to go to Nineveh, and Jonah heads for Tarshish instead. Now, scholars are not completely sure. Scholars generally have a hard time saying a few very particular words. I don't know. But on this, they're getting around to it. We're not totally sure where Tarshish is. Most agree it's likely somewhere on the far western edge of the Mediterranean, right before it becomes the Atlantic. So, right, you know, I guess it's Gibraltar that's there, right, where Europe comes down and Africa comes up and there's a bit of a gap there, right? Tarshish likely is way, way out there. The only other time of significance that appears in the Bible is when we're talking about how wealthy Solomon was. And all of these riches, silver, gold, and other precious metals come from Tarshish. It's possible that the word just means far away sailing place. So the whole point of Tarshish is that it's way, way, way far away. Nineveh was maybe 800 kilometers. Tarshish is like 3,000 plus, 4,000 kilometers away. Nineveh meant weeks of trekking through the desert. Tarshish meant a Mediterranean cruise. Jonah chose to go away, and very, very far away. So think of it this way. The word of the Lord comes to you in Pemberton. Go to the great city of Prince George and preach against it, for its wickedness has come up before me. Which is, you know, if you've ever been to Prince George. But you run away from the Lord and head for Maui. Now, Jonah can't go directly to Tarshish because Tarshish, you know, there's a big, huge body of water, salt water, between where he is and that destination. So he goes down to Joppa. He goes down to Joppa, which is like a port city, a terminal city, a hub. And that's where he buys a ticket to get across the big water to go to Tarshish. So God says, go to the great city of Prince George and preach against it, for its wickedness has come up before me. But you rise up and go instead in the direction of Maui. You go down to Vancouver International Airport, YVR, where you find a plane headed for that place. And after spending way too much on a ticket, you board the plane and depart for Maui to flee from the Lord. Now, I want us to see some things about Jonah's alternative plan. First of all, it's in the opposite direction, by far. And secondly, This is a bit of an extrapolation, but come with me on this. It's also a very comfortable place. I imagine blue Mediterranean waters, white sandy Tarshish beaches, lots of gold and silver and wealth. Interesting that Jonah would choose that kind of a place to go to instead. Nineveh, on the other hand, it's a big, noisy, dirty city full of obnoxious and difficult people. I was actually in Prince George this past summer. I met some very nice people, I should say. In case you're from Prince George or have any connection to it whatsoever, or in case anybody should come across this online who's from Prince George, nice people there. My first time there, though, so I went on the Prince George Tourism website. And I'm clicking through all the cool things. There's photos of these great, awesome adventures you can go on in Prince George. And as I click through, every single one of these things, these attractions and these activities and these adventures, require driving at least 100 kilometers out of Prince George to do or to find or to attend. Nineveh was the kind of place where anything you might actually want to do or like about the place required leaving, going far away from Nineveh. So it's perfectly reasonable that if God should call Jonah to a place like Nineveh, Jonah's thinking nobody, no reasonable person would voluntarily choose to go to Nineveh. As far as Jonah was concerned, he was a reasonable person. And so he chose to go somewhere else instead. So you've rolled up to YVR and you've parked at your discount parking lot. And you're just walking into International Departures, and a Greyhound bus pulls up serendipitously, and on the front of the Greyhound bus, of course, it says, Prince George. And you see some tired parents getting on with crying babies, and a couple is just getting on, and they're arguing with each other, possibly they're intoxicated, and you're looking at this, and you're thinking, what do I do? You know what you do in those moments when you're hesitating. You pull out your phone, and you check Facebook, you kill a little time. And what do you see on Facebook? Well, some of your friends have just posted wonderful pictures of their recent trip to Maui. Hashtag YOLO, hashtag vacay, hashtag no filter. And it is a seriously filtered photo because it looks awesome. Hashtag Tarshish. What's the reasonable thing to do in that situation? You're standing there, you're looking at the bus, you're looking at your phone. What's the reasonable thing to do in that situation? I want us to see, church, that sometimes God calls us to do things that on the surface seems very unreasonable indeed. Sometimes God calls us to do things and to go in directions that are exactly opposite to where we ourselves might choose to go because they're so comfortable and nice. After paying the fare, Jonah went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. So you board your plane to Maui. And off you go, and at first there's a bit of turbulence, nothing too serious. The seatbelt light comes on. You know, the flight attendants maybe hand out a few extra barf bags. But then it shifts, it gets worse. It's thumping, it's rising, it's falling, and the crew goes a little pale. And pretty soon they've strapped themselves into their seats. And not just strapped themselves into their seats, they've strapped themselves into their seats with life jackets on. And you realize, do you ever know that when you ever do this, there's turbulence? First person I look at when there's significant turbulence on the plane is the flight attendant. And if she or he is chill, okay, right? They do this all the time. Okay, this is not serious. Imagine the flight attendant going completely pale, putting on a life jacket and strapping themselves into their seat. And not only that, according to this story, they've completely lost their composure and started loudly calling out to their own gods, praying out to Buddha and Joseph Smith and Tom Cruise and Oprah Winfrey and whoever else they might pray to, praying desperately, frantically, for divine intervention in this situation. Now the O2 masks fall from the ceiling, and you see the door to the cockpit open, and the first mate sort of scrambles back down the aisle, and passengers turn around to watch him, and he disappears behind the bathrooms at the back, and then they look out the window. The first mate has opened the hatch and is chucking the luggage into the sky. This is all happening on your trip to Maui. It's not going super well for Jonah. It's not going super well for you. The point here, church, is that when we run from God's will for our lives, it's not just bad for us individually. It's also bad for all those around us. So here's a point for a greeting card, a little cutesy may-may on the internet. We're all connected. Right? It sounds a bit cheesy, but it is so profoundly true that we are all connected. When you make a mistake, it has consequences for me. When I make a mistake, it has consequences for you. I mean, we're all nice people, and presumably Jonah was a nice person too, and when we want to do something that we know is wrong, we usually try to do it in sneaky secret. To go off on our own and try to remove ourselves from others because we don't want to drag them down with us, right? We're nice. We got our hearts set on doing something contrary to God's will for our lives, so we go off. We isolate from others when we want to do something wrong. But here's the thing, is that that's actually impossible. The way we are created is that we are deeply interconnected with others. Our mistakes, our sins have consequences for those around us. And those on board this ship are feeling the consequences of Jonah's flight from the Lord. So, just a little pro tip before I move on. No extra charge for this in the sermon, but you've heard of the Greek myth of Narcissus, right? Where the guy wanders off into the bush and becomes so enthralled with his own image in the pond that he just falls in love with the image of himself, and he never goes back to the village, never responds to any texts or messages or phone calls. He just stays stuck and glued to himself, perfectly isolated, and eventually turns to stone. That's it for narcissists. A little tip. When I feel the urge to isolate from others, that's a flag, right? When we see ourselves, when we feel ourselves doing that, that's a little warning symbol. Things are going badly. I'm about to do something that's probably going to get me turned to stone and stuck and off on the wrong track. When we feel that urge to isolate, we better check ourselves before we wreck ourselves. It's a flag. Jacques Ellul, who's a French philosopher, theologian, said, he was talking about Jonah. He said, when all the world is in danger, the man who flees from the word of God seals himself off in his solitude, willing neither to see nor to hear anything of what others are doing. His destiny is no longer their destiny. He sleeps. That's what's happening in the story right now, in the story of Jonah. So they're throwing the cargo into the sea, and then the next verse says, but Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell asleep, a deep sleep. So the captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish. I'd like us to notice that this captain is a professional mariner, right? Probably the one person on ship with the most experience. Probably the one who is the most thoroughly seasoned at sea. Personally, I'm from Ontario, as you know. First time I ever went out on the ocean was an average swell, and I was certain we were all going to die. This sailor, this captain, he's got salt water in his veins, right? He's not some greenhorn they just picked up from inland, shore somewhere. And he is deeply, thoroughly convinced that this storm is about to end them all. So this was not your average swell. This was not even an especially bad storm. This was categorically off the charts, that even the captain himself had lost it. So you're on your flight to Maui. The crew is frantically praying to whomever. The first mate's out back, throwing the luggage into the sky. And the captain now leaves the cockpit and comes back into the cabin to search for an explanation. And there you are. And you've got your little styrofoam bead-filled horseshoe-shaped pillow. And your little black velvet blindfold. And your noise-canceling earbuds in. And you are completely dead to the world asleep. And maybe there's a little smile on your face. Because on your lap, it's that travel brochure opened up to the page about Tarshish, right? The white sands and the blue water, and a little slobber running down your face. And you are dreaming of such a beautiful place. And that, that is the definition of fantasy. As you sleep and think and dream, it's going to be so great without God. Did God really say, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full and love your Ninevites as yourself? Did he really say that? Does God really know what the full, abundant life looks like and what's best for you? Or wouldn't you really rather go find your own fullness and choose your own Tarshish happiness? That's fantasy. It's the one that got Jonah onto his boat. And it's the same fantasy that gets you and I off into directions away from God's love. See, follow your dreams. We hear that around here, some version of that a lot. Follow your dreams is only good advice. Only good advice if God is the executive producer and the director of those dreams. Otherwise, who knows what ship you could get on and where it could be headed. So this captain, you know, Jonah is out. And the first thing he hears as he wakes up is, get up and call on your God. So you're on that flight, and you're a strong and intelligent person. And the captain is not waking you up to get your help lifting luggage. Captain's not waking you up to have your advice on choosing a new navigation route. The captain is waking you up to compel you to pray. And that's what Jonah hears when he wakes up from his narcissistic nap. Maybe God will take notice of us so that we will not perish. I wonder if you ever think that. Like, pretty much the same thing. Maybe God will take notice of us and we will not perish. Maybe that's a good thing for you to wonder, to ask, for me to wonder and ask. Maybe life isn't just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we perish. Maybe God has taken notice of us. Now, let's be real here for a sec, church. You and I, we already live in a place like Tarshish. This is Pemberdice. Pembertopia, right? It literally is in travel brochures and magazines. Probably filtered photographs, but still, it's in there. Now, just because this isn't a great city like Nineveh, and just because, presumably, the wickedness of Pemberton hasn't rose up before the Lord, it doesn't mean this isn't a good place to live, to be called to, even. But being in a place like Tarshish, it does include some very unique risks. Our risk, I believe, is that we might get so cozy, so comfortable, so intoxicated by the lifestyle or the beauty of the place, that we don't notice the storm, that we don't feel the turbulence. There's no panicky captains on Tarshish beaches waking people up. Hey, maybe God will take notice of us so that we will not perish. You wake up on the beach and you're like, huh? LOL, JK, do you want another pina colada? Right? That's how it is in Tarshish. It's completely different on the boat that Jonah's on. That's our challenge, I think, living in a place like we do. My point here, church, is that Jonah's storm, as terrible and terrifying as it is, Jonah's storm is grace. That's God's grace to him. Do you see that? That Jonah has his own fantasy, dream, idea of a life apart, away from God, and God in his grace is interrupting that self-destructive, selfish plan of narcissistic Jonah. Now, it's terrifying and it's dangerous, but that is grace. That's God's grace in action. Grace, it's like icy cold, shockingly icy cold water after a nice warm nap. If you like, you can go home and try that on your spouse this afternoon when they take their, you know, take the Sunday afternoon nap. Just get some cold water. No, don't do that. No, don't do that. Grace is good that way because it wakes us up. It wakes us up. Jonah woke up. The reformers often talked a Latin phrase, I think it was Martin Luther in particular, said felix culpa. Translated means, oh happy sin. In the sense that when our sin and the mess of it wakes us up, it's happy because it gives us the chance then to turn to realize the destruction we're headed toward and turn away. Wet, cold, hypothermic, panicked in the storm of God's grace is a better place to be by far than calm, cozy, and asleep in our own pride. We've heard the story just a couple weeks ago of Jesus going from Nazareth to Jerusalem. Any reasonable person in Jesus' shoes would have realized at that time the last place to be during that Passover would have been Jerusalem. For all the reasons we've talked about before. Are you with me on this, church, right? That's the last place a reasonable person in Jesus' shoes would want to be. And yet he went there. He could have gone elsewhere, Jesus, right? Even while he was there, he spent some time just outside the city in Gethsemane. He could have changed his mind. He could have said, Lord, if it's possible, let me go to Tarshish. And yet Jesus prayed instead, not my fantasy dream, but your grace be done. I think sometimes, I was at the airport yesterday getting Kenzie, and I think sometimes it'd be nice if there was, you know how they have the announcements of various things happening around the airport? It'd be nice if life just included a PA as you're walking around. All passengers for flight 666 to the wide gate, now boarding. All passengers following Jesus, please proceed to the glory terminal. Take the shuttle bus 316, get off on the tarmac, follow the crosses. Your sweet chariot is standing by. It would be nice if there were announcements that were so clear you could just go, I don't want to go that way, I want to go that way. Or like in the airports, they have those kiosks with the backlit in the maps, right? You could say, you know, Nineveh, Jerusalem, God's plan for your life. And you just follow the little signs and it could say, you are here, don't go there. It's not that simple in life though, is it? It's not labeled. There's no PA staff announcing every misstep we take. But this morning, it's time for us to just have a little introspection with the Spirit's help, for each of us to ask ourselves as honestly as we can, am I going the wrong way? Jonah went down to Joppa. His friends were posting filter pics of Tarshish. There's a solution to that. Unfollow. Who are the people in your life that are giving you images, fantasy, pictures, dreams that would inspire or tempt you off in the wrong direction? Right? I wish it were as simple as a little setting on the thingy to just unfollow. But we need to make some choices about who we're following. We could ask ourselves, where is my Tarshish? Where is your Tarshish? What is it that's giving you that idea, that picture, that fantasy? Where's your Joppa, the place you'd go to make your launch? What about the flags I was talking about earlier? Are you isolating yourself? Are you cutting yourself off from others? That's something that we might need to pause and ask ourselves. Sleeping through the turbulence of God's grace. So next week I'm going to tell some more about the story of Jonah. I know a lot of us know it already, but a little heads up, a little hint. Jonah doesn't make it to Tarshish, right? He got turned around. He got turned away from his own selfish isolation and turned back toward God's plan for his life. And for you and I, God calls each of us to different persons, different places, different plans. But God calls all of us to that same turning away from the fantasy isolation backward plan that we might make for ourselves and toward the plan that God would have for each one of us in Christ. It's a two-part turning, away from that and toward that. Maybe you need to make that turn this morning. That's a redundant question, by the way. Some of us, we might need to make the big turn, like, wow, I realize I have been completely off track and headed in the wrong direction, and yes, I need to make that turn. The rest of us, there are ways in our lives right now, myself included, yourself included, in which we are divided up and heading off in those directions away from what God's best is. So we could ask ourselves, each one of us, how can I turn over away from that, my own agenda, my own travel plans, and toward God's fullness and best? May God help us. Amen. Thanks for listening. Let's say a prayer, church. Greater Father, I recognize my own heart and my hearts of my brothers and sisters and friends here, the complicated creatures, these. And sometimes we can't know ourselves well enough. So we ask this morning, I pray, would you, by your Spirit, show us the ways in which we are headed away from you rather than toward you? Would you show us those ways, please, and then rescue us from those ways? I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Paul. This song is actually called All For You, but in today's context, it could be called